Revelation. God reveals himself. God unveiled himself. A little at a time so that we could understand. The God of the universe has shown himself to us. We just celebrated Trinity Sunday. God showing himself as three. A great mystery, but also one into the middle of which we are called. We were made in God's image. That's who we are. That's salt, to use Jesus' image from the Sermon on the Mount. But we were also made to reflect God to the world. That's light. Today, again, these themes of God's action and our participation are evident. Elijah is the great prophet who is especially attuned to God's will. God asks him to go to the foreign land outside of Israel and just kind of hang out. Elijah leaves Israel. He goes to where there is a poor widow with a son. She's preparing one more meal, a last meal. She has nothing. She's preparing a last meal for herself and her son, knowing there is nothing left and no hope for anything, leaving only death as a possibility. A last meal, followed by death, glimpses into what God will do. But that life for her family is restored by the miracle of multiplication, which Elijah performs, another glimpse for us of what Jesus will do with loaves and fishes. Elijah does with bread and oil, abundance from poverty, life from certain death. The fullness of what God wants to do for us is a person. That is Jesus Christ. As a human, he perfectly submits to the will of the Father. He is salt. That is his identity. As God, he accomplishes what we could not do on our own. He is light. These are the two images that are the foundation of the Sermon on the Mount. Salt. Salt preserves. Salt flavors. But if salt loses its saltiness, Jesus says, it is thrown out. A puzzle, perhaps? No. The point is that salt is salt. If it lost its flavor, it would stop being what it is. It would be sand or dust or something else. It would lose its identity. It would not be salt. Today we are searching for identity, in particular in our world, imagining in general that we have to create our own identity. And we are doing it by trying to create ourselves and to promote ourselves as the people who believe that, for example, that science will save us. Then along comes the invisible microorganism that brings death and brings us to our knees. And still we say no to God. We will figure this out ourselves. But in the middle of saving ourselves from something that we can't even see, violence breaks out, reminding us that we are so far from figuring out how to be the people of peace that light is hard to find. We have stopped being what we are, created by God as salt. And light, Jesus' second image in the Sermon on the Mount, undergirding the entire message of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is the light which shines in the dark, John says in his gospel. But Jesus says today to us in the gospel what he said to those disciples on the mount. You are the light of the world. How did we get to be the light? This is the miracle of how God acts in the world. He gives us himself, and then he tells us to go out and do the things that show his light to a world in spiritual darkness. Has there been a time in our memory, in our lives, where darkness covered so much of the world at the same time? But if we are faithful as disciples, we will become a light to all around us, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God, he says, who is the source of light, made present in Jesus Christ, then shining for the world through his disciples. That's us. When Christians fail to be saints, when we fail to live the Beatitudes and be light, the world suffers. But when we imitate Christ's love, mercy, and generosity, the world will see our good deeds and will glorify our Heavenly Father. We will not have victory, even over this pandemic, without God's intervention. Our efforts will fail. This is not my prophecy. This is the evidence of history, the history of salvation, of God's saving the world. We cannot have physical victory over worldly trials if we do not allow God to bring spiritual victory over the brokenness of our hearts, to make us salt that flavors and preserves and gives light, and light which gives glory to God. So I don't know whether it was a coincidence, an accident of the liturgical year, but on the day of the ordination of eight of us, including Deacon Tom O'Toole from our parish as well, is also the feast of St. Ephraim the Deacon. So we think in particular that there are no accidents. Now, Ephraim was a mid-fourth century, very intense man, and he's been made one of the 42 doctors of the church for what he contributed to the church. And so we can look a little bit more at what his life means. He was an intense person who oftentimes in his sermons, his homilies, would make them a prayer to God before the people. One of the things that he's been given credit for is to have brought music into liturgical worship, hymns. Now, there was always singing in liturgical worship, but he brought the formal hymn. He wrote hymns that were sung in liturgies after that. And isn't it ironic today that we don't have that experience of light that is brought to us by singing, by music? And so that light, in particular, that Ephraim brought into the church, we have to wait for. But Jesus is saying to us today, you do not have to wait to be light to the world. St. John Henry Newman's prayer is radiating Christ, which I will conclude with. He says, shine through me and be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Jesus, stay with me, and then I shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Be salt. That is who you are. Be light. That is what you are called to do in Christ Jesus, to glorify God.